Hey, it's Bob Stauffer. I just wanted to let you know that you can listen to Oilers Now ad-free on Amazon Music, included with Prime.
Get ready for the greatest roast of all time, the Roast of Tom Brady, a Netflix live event happening May 5th. Hosted by Kevin Hart, the seven-time world champion gets his cleats held to the fire by famous friends and frenemies on an unforgettable night where everything is fair game. Tune in on May 5th at 5 p.m. Pacific time for the Roast of Tom Brady, live only on Netflix.
Hour number three of Oilers Now. Again, non-Oiler game days, we will go 4 to 7 during the playoffs. On game days, basically, we're 4 hours before the game until 2 hours before the game, and then the dulcet tones of the lovable Reed Wilkins will have the face-off show for you. 606 in Edmonton. Guests and Oilers Now receive gift cards to Japanese Village. Save $10 on all certified Angus beef New York steak dinners. For details, visit Don and his staff at jvedmonton.ca. As we head off to the River Cree Resort and Casino Hotline, welcome back to the show from the Oilers Radio Network for Montorio Homes, developing customized homes perfectly built to your lifestyle. Visit montorio.ca. We welcome back Rob Brown. Hello, Rob. How you doing?
I'm doing very good, Bob. How are you?
Not bad. It's been an exhausting last week with the extra travel and that sort of thing. So I'm going to get your thoughts right from the get-go here. What did you see last night in Edmonton's 7-4 victory over LA?
Well, I saw an Oilers team that was committed to playing smart hockey. They came out, were disciplined. They were the more disciplined of the two teams. They were physical. They initiated, and there was no retaliation. They turned the other cheek, got on the power play, and their power play was what we expected, dominant. So I do believe the 7-4 score probably flattered the LA Kings. To me, that was more of an 8-2 type of game. You know, there's a couple grade A's that normally they bury, didn't go in, and the LA Kings a couple fortunate bounces. So I thought the Oilers were by far the much better club in game one and certainly deserved the victory.
Yeah. We had a little bit of a discussion this with the media, just in terms, sometimes when football teams are in real good shape to, you know, they're sitting up with a 10-1 record, 11-1 record, that sort of thing, they don't reveal all of their cards in the regular season. They save a little bit of the play call and come playoff time. The power play, I thought, was quite pedestrian in the final third of the year. It didn't look the same last night. Guys were in different spots. It was much more fluid. You played on the power play in your NHL career. What did you see?
Well, first of all, the Oilers' power play is so dynamic that it's unlike any other power play in the National Hockey League that I've seen in a long, long time. I'm watching the Tampa game, and you got Kucherov and Stamkos and Hedman, and they are the best power play in the league this year and very effective. But at all times, you know where Kucherov is standing. You know where Stamkos is standing. You know where Hedman is. And they're great at execution, and they have success. And you look at where the Canucks with Pedersen and Miller and Hughes and any power play in the National Hockey League, you tell the team, you say, okay, here's the power play, where are the guys set up? And you can go through all the media and all the players in the league, and they'll tell you where every guy is set up. The Oilers' power play isn't like that. Connor McDavid will be on the far left wing up by the blue line, and then 10 seconds later, he's down beside the goal net, and then he's up on the right side, and then he's in the bumper. So that if you're defending and you think, okay, you look, okay, there's Connor. I remember he's right there. Okay, I'm fine. You turn your head, he moves, and all of a sudden, you're confused at where the players are. And the execution is second to none in the National Hockey League. Their retrieval is as good as any I've ever seen. If the puck gets in the corner, they don't give you any time to ice it. And then there are times, and we saw it last night with Leon Draisaitl, when you feel you are in the perfect position and they still score. Where Leon Draisaitl was, the defenders, the LA Kings, they said, okay, I'm going to leave him there. He is not a threat. I'm going to look at the four bigger threats. And then a puck goes down to Leon Draisaitl, and he scores from the goal line. And you go back to the bench, and you look at the coach, what am I supposed to do? There's nothing you could do. So the Oilers' power play, the only way you can be effective against them is by not giving them a power play. They are that good right now. And the biggest thing is they always start in the offensive zone, A, I don't know what their faceoff percentage is on power play faceoffs, but it's really high. And B, if it does get iced down, it's automatically back in the zone again, because Connor McDavid carries it up and you cannot stop him from entering the zone.
Well, they went 3-for-4 last night. They didn't score on their first power play. They had 5 shots on goal, Rob, on their first power play.
Well, and another thing they have too, Bob, and this is something that I've noticed with the Oilers more than any other team that I've been around, is how many face-off plays they have.
Yeah.
They have a face-off play. Now, they do it 5-on-5 as well. But on the power play, they've got so many plays. On the Zach Hyman hat trick goal, you could see Leon having a conversation with all the players. They call in before the face-off, and he's pointing. So they all know, okay, if we win the draw, here's how we have it set up. And eventually it comes out, and Zach Hyman is standing right where he needs to be. And they hit him with it. It looks like an easy goal. But that was set up with a pre-face-off talk. And this is something that has been set up with practice and practice. But they have so many different plays. And not only do they have the play set up, when Connor has the puck, he has 4 options. Okay, here's what we're going to do. There's my first option, second, third. So it's like a quarterback looking through 4 different receivers, and the first receiver was open, and he hit him, and it's in the back of the net. But the LA Kings will not win this series if they take foolish penalties, because the Edmonton Oilers power play is too good.
You ready?
Showtime.
On May 3rd, summer starts with the Fall Guy.
Let's do it later.
Let's drink a spicy margarita.
Make some bad decisions.
Yes!
Audiences are falling in love with the most entertaining film of the year.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
Fall Guy.
That's what the poster said.
See Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in the movie critics say exists to make you happy.
Trying to make it out?
Nope.
Because I don't either. It's not what I'm into right now.
What are you into?
Talking.
Yeah.
The Fall Guy. Only in theaters May 3rd. Rated PG-13.
When you need mealtime inspiration, it's worth shopping Kroger, where you'll find over 30,000 mouthwatering choices that excite your inner foodie. And no matter what tasty choice you make, you'll enjoy our everyday low prices, plus extra ways to save, like digital coupons worth over $600 each week. You can also save up to $1 off per gallon at the pump with fuel points. More savings and more inspiring flavors make shopping Kroger worth it every time. Kroger, fresh for everyone. Fuel restrictions apply.
Edmonton is 12-for-20 in their last 7 games against the LA Kings in the playoffs, and the Kings had a top 3 penalty kill this year. After, you know, struggling last year was an area of emphasis. This is a bit of a weird series, Rob, in the sense that, because I was going to reference Todd McClellan saying, hey, the Edmonton Oilers aren't getting anywhere, we're going to have to get better as an organization too. But this was, for 2 years, Todd McClellan and Jay Woodcroft. It no longer is. It's got a. Does it have a little bit different feel to it because of the two coaches?
I don't think so. Once the teams are on the ice, no. Simply because it's the same players, the same matchups. This is funny. The matchups. The Oilers want the same matchups as the Kings want. The Kings want Deneau versus McDavid. Well, so do the Oilers. The Kings want Kopitar versus Draisaitl. Well, so do the Oilers. When the Oilers put their fourth line out, well, the Kings want their fourth line out. So both teams are saying, okay, we know what we want. We just have to execute better than you. And last night, the difference was, is it didn't matter who was out against McDavid's line. He was just too good. And when they're going to score the 5-on-5 goals, and then all of a sudden you gift them 3 penalties or power plays that the LA Kings did, you're just playing with fire. But I understand with McClellan and Jay and the history they had and going head-to-head. But to me, it's just when you watch those two teams play against each other, it's like, hey, we're just watching the same as we've watched the last couple of years. And the LA Kings, to me, have to be different. The Oilers don't have to change anything because they figured out how to win in the playoffs against LA. To me, the LA Kings are the team that has to change. They can't play passive against the Oilers. When the Oilers have trouble are against teams that are very good forechecking teams that hem the Oilers in, that create turnovers from the Oilers defensemen. If you're a team that's going to sit in the neutral zone, the Oilers have figured out now that, okay, we're going to dump it in, but you know what? We're fast, and we're going to win the race to the puck in the offensive zone. Now we have you hemmed in. The LA Kings were at best for the best they played yesterday, so they got behind by 4, because now at that point they're like, all right, let's just go. Let's be aggressive. And then they actually started playing better.
What did you think of the Trevor Moore hit? Because we're getting lots of people text us on the Ashley Fine Flores text line. They're like, Josh Archibald got a major and suspended for that exact same play when he wiped out Logan Stanley, a 6'7" defenseman. What did you think of the sequence of Trevor Moore, besides the fact that it was an undisciplined play?
Well, it was dumb, and that was the end of the game for the L.A. Kings. They have momentum, and they're going into the third, having scored the last two goals, and he takes a stupid penalty. I said right after that period, when Reed and I went on, I said, that is exactly what we saw with Archibald. The change. The Oilers were going to win that game. And, you know, who knows? Maybe they could have come back in that series, and Archibald took a stupid penalty that gave the Jets momentum, and eventually the Jets won the hockey game. Yeah, I said that I believe the NHL should take a look at it. You can see when Moore hits Desharnais' knee, his knee goes, it bends awkward. And you could see the discomfort Desharnais had. That's dangerous. That's clipping in a football game. That's a major penalty in football. So, yeah, I was surprised that there was at least a fine, I would have thought.
Yeah.
If not, a one-game suspension. But, yeah, I don't think there was intent to injure, because I don't think Moore is that kind of player. Archibald, I question that. But Moore, I don't think he's that kind of player. But he put himself in a position that he could hurt a player in the opposition by doing something stupid. So I definitely thought the league would look at it, and there would have been something come out of it.
Rob, tell me this. How important was that win last night for Edmonton, given that this group lost in 2017, lost in 2020, lost in 21, lost in 22 and 23. So five times they dropped the opening games of the series at home, and they got it done last night, 7-4 against L.A.
Well, I think it was important to the fact that they came out and played the right way. In all aspects of the game, demons that have been in their playoff DNA the last few years, taking dumb penalties, retaliating. When the game is a little, well, when there was a pushback by LA yesterday, the old Oilers would have abandoned their structure and tried to get everything back quickly, which would have created more chaos and problems for them. So I think they played the right way. To me, I felt, and I said before the series, that the LA Kings, to win this series, would have to split in Edmonton. I just don't. The Edmonton Oilers were the best team in the NHL since Knobloch took over. I could see, with everything going right for an opposition team, a team would have an opportunity to win 4 out of 7 against the Oilers. They'd have to play great, and it'd have to be a good team, but I could see a team being able to do that. I can see no team being able to win 4 out of 5 games. And if the LA Kings don't win game 2, they now have to win 4 of the next 5 games. I can't see any team in the NHL doing that to this Oilers team. So it was important for the Oilers for game 1. But game 2, this is all on the LA Kings. If they lose game 2, I don't see a road back for them. So for me, this is a big game for the Oilers coming up tomorrow night, because if they win that game, I think they put the LA Kings in a position where it's too big a hill for them to come over.
You know, it's interesting, Rob. You look at the Kings the first year, they didn't have Doughty nor Victor Arvidsson. And Edmonton won game 2, lost game 1, right, in overtime, and then won, and that was the bad goal that Mike Smith gave up. And then they ended up winning game 2, 6-0, and game 3, 8-2. And then suddenly the Kings came back, shut Edmonton out in game 4, won in overtime in game 5, and the Oilers were on the ropes, and they pulled themselves off the mat. But they didn't have Doughty and Arvidsson. Like that, Todd did a great job in that series, I thought, getting the most out of that team. Last year, I think, if you know, the Kings won overtime games in game 1 and game 3. Again, the Oilers, you know, won going away in game 2. But then the Kings up 3-0 in game 4. And they didn't close Edmonton out. The Oilers ended up winning in overtime and never looked back in that series.
Well, to me, in that game, in game 4 last year, it was Jack Campbell. Jack Campbell came in the third period. L.A. was fantastic at the beginning of the third period. They had great chances to extend that. Campbell stood on his head. And if the L.A. Kings go up 3-1, I think the L.A. Kings probably win the series.
Yeah.
Campbell turned that series around. The problem I see with the Kings this year, and I said it before game 1, I don't think they have the goaltending to beat Edmonton. To beat Edmonton, you have to have a couple things. You have to have timely goal scoring, but you have to have a goaltender that can steal you a hockey game. Because the Oilers, there will be games where they will outplay you, but you somehow have to find a way to win those games where you're bold. And we've seen that over the course of this year. Some games that the Oilers were by far the better team, but they ran into a good goaltender. I don't see Talbot winning games or stealing games for the LA Kings. I think the LA Kings play a very good structure game, and they can limit the chances against, and they can win that way. But I don't see a game where Edmonton outshoots, LA 45-19, and LA finds a way to win, because I don't know if Talbot's that goalie right now. So I think that's the biggest thing right now is the LA Kings in the past. I didn't mind the third pairing. They had some, physical, mean, nasty guys in the third pairing. I think the third pairing is not, it's a big drop off from second to third pairing for LA this year. And their goaltending to me is just okay. And okay goaltending doesn't beat the Oilers in the playoffs.
You played with Mario Lemieux at the absolute height of his powers. Connor's different. Connor's different because Mario could stick handle and, had that. We've never seen a player this explosive as Connor has been, this advanced of a player. Are there some comparables between the two greats?
Well, just how much better they were than other players on the ice. So I think there's that. Connor does everything at 100 miles an hour. Mario, he was always criticized because he's always lazy. Well, he wasn't lazy. Just his stride was so big that he didn't need to push it as hard because he's already past you. So I just think the way they see the game, I think, is very similar. The great ones all see the game different than everyone else. That's why when people say, oh, Connor's got to make that, he's got to shoot that instead of pass, he's seeing something different, and I'm going to trust him on that one. That's where I think the biggest thing is their hockey IQ is through the roof. What I'm seeing, though, from Connor right now is tunnel vision of there's only one thing he's looking for right now, and that's a Stanley Cup. And his focus is on that, and every shift he goes out there is one step closer to that goal. It will take an incredible effort by whoever the Oilers play to slow him down. And the one thing you can't do is what Pierre-Luc Dubois did yesterday, where the little ticky-tack penalties after or the whistle, that's not going to slow Connor McDavid down. That's going to make him smile because now he's on your power play. If you're going to hit Connor, you better hit him hard, and it better be that penalty must be worth it because he's going to make you pay. But right now, Connor McDavid is playing as good as he's ever played, and it's at the right time because the Edmonton Oilers right now, it's set up nicely with the way the four teams that they're playing against, injuries to other teams around the National Hockey League, the health of the Edmonton Oilers. This is setting up nicely for the Edmonton Oilers, and that's where their focus is. And I believe their focus through their captain is all in the right place right now.
Final question for Inside the Game analyst Rob Brown for Montorio Homes. So, Rob, which series are you most closely watching besides obviously working the Oilers and the Kings?
I enjoy Florida-Tampa. I think Florida's a fantastic hockey team. I like Toronto and Boston. It's just the intrigue. I'm honestly pulling for Toronto. I really am. I just feel so sorry for them. And I thought Matthews was fantastic last night. But the one that intrigues me the most, though, is Dallas and Vegas. To me, those are the two biggest obstacles for the Edmonton Oilers to get to the Stanley Cup Finals. They're playing in the first round. I believe whoever wins that series, that will be the third round opponent of the Oilers if the Oilers get there, which I believe they will. So that's the series I'm most intrigued with, Vegas and Dallas.
Rob, great stuff. Thanks for joining us.
Sounds good, Bob.
6:22 in Edmonton. You're listening to Oilers Now.
Mother's Day is around the corner. Find the perfect gift for the mom in your life with a stunning piece of jewelry from Blue Nile. From timeless pearls to dazzling gemstones, Blue Nile has something she'll adore. Need it fast? Most items can ship overnight. Plus, enjoy guaranteed free shipping and returns. Don't miss our special Mother's Day deals. Save big on the season's most beautiful trends. For a limited time, get up to 50% off by going to BlueNile.com. That's BlueNile.com.
You can always text us on the Ashley Fine Floors text line. John in Victoria says, Bob, what do you think the odds are that the Oilers beat Vancouver in the second round if they both make it? Leaving in BC, having Vancouver winning that series might make me move to Edmonton because I won't be able to leave my house. Well, Vancouver's going to be a tough out, but they got some bad news. Thatcher Demko sounds like he may not be able to go the rest of the way in the playoff series against Nashville. Nashville was a real good team. Now, I thought Vancouver played well. I thought they were playing really well. We are going to bring aboard Brennan Escott at this time as we are going to go to this day in Oilers history. For New West Travel, explore Southeast Asia on a chartered river cruise. Next March, reach out to newwesttravel.com. I remember this day quite well.
Well, I just read that one yesterday. So you'd remember it really well. But good thing I was just at my computer updating mine. So we'll go back to 1988. Marty McSorley, 5 in a game for spearing Bob. We just heard from him on the show on Friday. Mark Messier, though, registered 3 assists. And Wayne Gretzky with a pair of his own to lead the Oilers past the Flames 4-2 in Game 3 of the Smythe Division Final at Northlands. Yeah, they had won all three of those games at that point for a 3-0 lead.
And ended up sweeping them, and it was Mike Bullard. That's who Marty speared. He got hit, and his head bounced off the glass back behind the Calgary goal. He said he was sort of dazed, and as he went off the ice, he dug the blade in on Mike Bullard, and he got him really good. And then Bullard was out. He ended up getting a 5-minute major and tossed out the game. Hey, that's the Battle of Alberta back then. I mean, the Flames were the favorites in that series in 1988. And Edmonton won in 4 straight. Esa-Tikkanen in Game 4, somebody threw a broom on the ice. The fans were chanting, sweep, sweep, sweep. And he started sweeping the ice as only Esa-Tikkanen. By the way, Brady, did you see what the Canucks did with... Because there was the Sphere, U2 at the Sphere, right? That the Nashville Predators got canceled because they played poorly. And the Canucks reverted back to their old warm-up with The Streets Have No Name by U2. Mm-hmm. Do you think that was a little bit of a troll job?
I don't, because I grew up listening. Like, that song has the particular homage. If you think of a certain Oilers entrance song, like a younger fan now might think of Enter Sandman, that's what I grew up as a Canucks kid on, was Where the Streets Have No Name. So I love to see that.
Okay, so you did not think it was a convenient troll job.
I think there is a coincidence, but not a cause and effect.
All right, 6:27 in Edmonton, off to a Global News weather traffic update. Randy Kilburn, when we come back, Colin Chalk, the head coach of the Bakersfield Condors, and then Brendan and Reed Wilkins will set up game two tomorrow against the Oilers and the Los Angeles Kings.